Steve, man, does your cat say hentai?
Yes, it does, Zach. So we just got done recording our last episode, and there were some off-air parallels drawn to the hentai art. So I decided to go get my my flat brim that is printed all over like the galaxy, and it has giant mirrored letters across the forehead that say hentai.
Dude, I was going to say,
where did you get that hat?
So I actually did not buy this. It was back at Gen Con, and I think it was when Griffin and I were back at the Airbnb recording a Zone of Truth with our buddy Jason of What Do You Do Pods, and I got a text message.
Shout out Jason. BP
shout out
Dubs.
Jason. Well, shout out Jason. What a fucking hero.
The patron
hi, saint.
I just hate that guy. He's just the worst.
Anyway, I got a text message from Haley, and it's just this picture of the hat with no context. And I responded back, price is not an issue.
The best thing about it, because I'm getting to look at it right now, is that it's giant mirror glass letters. So you have to, as you're reading the word hentai, you have to look in your own eyes.
Yes.
And assess what's going on here.
Isn't that a little telling, Heath?
It's also super cosmic. It's got like a whole galaxy behind the giant hentai letters. So very appropriate for Starfinder.
As though hentai is something that transcends space and time.
This is really supposed to be a cross promotional opportunity, you know, a way to get the STF fans to listen to the HLP and a way to get the HLP fans to listen to the STF. And I just want to say, like, what the fuck, Steve? I mean, come on, like,
this is how you're representing the HLP.
No, actually, you're repping
Steve.
The show perfectly. Thank you.
That sums it up, like,
mwah. I mean, you know, it's been said before, but I'll say it again. There's a reason why we're doing the show together. You know what I mean?
It's like, all in the hentai.
Yeah,
it's always right.
Like
the hentai
is drawn to like.
We're really tied together. Hentai here.
Well, I mean, the news, the real takeaway is that this is our second pivot, and we're now a hentai podcast.
Thank God for the pivot.
Don't tempt me with a good time, all right?
I mean, yeah, Emily's already ready to go.
I'm writing scripts, shit's happening.
If we did that, that means it's basically an Emily and Steve podcast.
Yay!
Yeah, it's very much a we'll fucking see you situation.
We'll fucking see you.
Fucking drink whiskey and see you.
Oh, man.
I tender my resignation.
I need a drink, Griffin.
Yeah, you do? I mean, I do. What's your bar looking like these days? What you got over there?
Well, I've got a pretty good bar, but what I'm drinking now is, because this is the second episode of the evening, is I've gone back to my all-day IPA because I have to think about things. So I've already drank quite a bit of Bullet this evening, so I'm washing
it
down
guys.
With
whiskey DM.
Yeah, baby. I'm washing it down with some Founders all-day IPA, and it's just my favorite regular beer. It's just my favorite.
Well, speaking of somebody who took a bullet last episode, hey, Emily, what you drinking?
I thought I was going to be speaking of my favorite, but
yeah,
that's okay, too.
I was going to do that to you. Don't worry.
Damn. So I am also drinking what I was drinking last time, the Target brand ginger peach seltzer water, but this time, getting fancy, gonna put it in some gin.
There you go.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, that's nice.
That's nice.
Emily's getting wild.
Watch out.
Effervescent.
You want me to use effervescent, don't you?
Yeah.
Speaking of the Target brand of podcasters, hey Steve, what you drinking?
Oh, so good.
Hi Griffin Chan, this is Steve Strapple from the HLP. I play Matumbe and Sara on the show. And you're wondering what I'm drinking tonight. I'm drinking again a Yuengling Black and Tan, and it always makes me a Hago, so.
Steve Senpai is
Emily
best.
Squealing. You got Emily squealing.
Yeah, speaking of something that there's no good transition from. Hey, Heath. What you doing?
Oh, why do I gotta take the brunt of that?
Yeah, you took the hit on that one.
Yeah, I just roll
Griffin
with it.
Chan,
I guess,
was funny.
I loved it.
Anyway, hey guys, I'm Heath from the Southern Tomfoolery podcast. I play Tex Arcana and Titanium Mike, and I really enjoy irritating Steve.
He's my rival.
Yeah, we're frenemies now. Yeah, last episode I was drinking Jameson and Sprite. I'm just drinking Jameson.
I'm just straight.
I'm glad you made the switch to straight whiskey.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of straight whiskey, I'm doing the same. So cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
You know, I don't normally like to set myself up for stuff, but so I won't. Hey, Zach, what you doing?
Nicely done, Griff. Nicely done. In
best transitions ever.
In reluctant solidarity with my man Steve, I'm also drinking a Yingling Black and Tan.
Why the solidarity? Yeah,
because of the hentai hat.
The hentai.
You should come with that
one. Hentai hat. If I had to spell it out for you guys, yeah.
Oh no, man.
I've drank a lot of whiskey tonight, so you're gonna have to spell it out.
You're gonna have to spell it out.
It's fair.
No moving and then full attacking. No.
Okay. Yes. Remind me. Right. Can't move and full attack. Got it. If I'm dazed, I can't do shit.
Can't do nothing, son.
If you ever get a head cold, the only cure is to get your ass beaten.
Yeah.
That's how the game works.
So somebody needs to whip your ass then?
Yes. Please do.
Apparently.
We're a hentai podcast now. Fuck it.
Yes. This well, is our my last, ass, daddy.
We were last week with the body snatcher slime and the tentacle porn that happened to Yavari as the body snatcher slime invaded her personal space and her inside space.
Without consent.
Without consent.
I didn't consent.
Right. But there was some good role play at the end of that episode. I want to commend all of y'all for that. That was great. And you guys actually did something like noble too and stayed and helped the people of Linmari get ready to leave. And so you did that. You had a good meal. Got your long rest. And it's, again, early in the morning, like 3 or 4 in the morning. You guys wake up. And you have the road to the Temple of Hylax that goes up the Jurdos Mountains ahead of you. So you wake up, and that's where we'll start tonight.
We taking the truck, yeah?
I figured.
Yeah, unless it's a footpath.
Yeah. I don't know. The path? Like, GM? Is that?
What's that? Yeah. You got your truck.
Okay.
All right. Well, Vin will hop in the driver's seat whenever y'all are ready.
What was the name of the... I'm sorry. I just, like, lost my shit for a second. what was the name of the mountains?
Jurdos Mountains.
Jurdos?
Jurdos.
Okay. That's what...
The Jordash Mountains.
Jordash Mountains.
Got it. No. That's what we're going to write down in the notes. Jordash Mountains.
No, it just, like, reminded me so suddenly of, like, there's a river near here in Mississippi. It's spelled the Jordan River, but people pronounce it the Jordan.
Like,
yeah, they only call it the Jordan.
Jordan.
That's where we're headed.
We're going to the Jordan. River.
Hey, man, don't work hard and you have to. You know what I'm saying?
Don't run a trot line.
Oh my God. Okay, so what is your what's everybody's like mindset right now?
I'm a soul-bonded character, Adam, so I'm worried about my soul-bonded buddy. I had to baby her a little bit. But I think Tex is also cognizant of, like, being perceived as being too soft on Yavari, you know? Like, so he's not going to start, like, just smacking her around. She's a fucking giant dragon person, but, like...
Go upside the head, Sally Dragon.
Yeah, I don't want this to be, like, the halfling is abusing his fucking dragon friend. But, like, I think he's aware that, like, it can come off that way sometimes, that, like, maybe he treats her like a baby.
Well, what are your thoughts about... I mean, you definitely got the vibe that Sigurd was really... had a really personal response to Yavari and needed some time with her, and you probably could get the sense, you know, that he needed to speak with her because of something that he felt. Mm-hmm. You know, and what, how's that, does that change your perspective of Sigurd? Or
I mean, I think Tex thinks that's good. Like, any like relationship Yavari can have with somebody other than him, I think he would be very supportive of, because like they have been kind of watching each other's backs for so long that it can be really insular, you know, and like hard for them to have relationships with other people.
Let me ask Vin.
Okay.
You came into this group a little after some of their initial shared trauma, right? Now, you had your own trauma, you know, with being on the space station that was destroyed by the swarm and seeing it obliterated and escaping barely and all that. Right. And you've had some difficulty jiving with the group 100%, but that's not, it's just because your way of life is different than the rest of this group, right? You sure. didn't join the SDF. You know, you weren't here to join the SDF. You were here for other reasons, and you certainly don't have any like loyalty to military procedure. You know sure. what I mean?
Yeah.
But you certainly have your own kind of rank and file system, right?
Yeah.
You know, what are you thinking about the group that you're with and your place within this group? What is Vin thinking about that?
I mean, Vin is more regretting having gotten into the situation especially after seeing the face hugger slime thing, mm-hmm. and kind of realizing that that's a potentiality. And I mean, of course, you know, there's the 7 foot tall dragon in the room that doesn't seem to like him very much. So yeah, he's a little on edge. I mean, he's keeping a cool, calm exterior. But on the inside, he's a little like, what the fuck have I gotten myself into now, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
So, go ahead.
So, what are we currently doing? Are we kind of like packing some stuff up?
Y'all are like loading up the truck, getting ready to go. Yeah.
So, as we're loading up, Yavari is kind of like, wants to sort of scan the room and get the layout to see where Vin is, because she wants to kind of approach him just nonchalant, just cool, like she just wants to talk with him alone, kind of, if that opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I imagine the way this looks is Vin's got like the hood of the truck open and he's kind of doing an inspection of the engine, making sure everything's good, you know, doing just some kind of routine maintenance on the truck, and you come around to him while he's working on that.
Vin, hi.
It's Vin bumps his head on the hood of the truck and says, don't sneak up on me like that. Jesus.
I've never been called sneaky before. look, and she, you can tell she's kind of like sort of fumbling through this. Look, I'm sorry about the other day. A lot of people aren't super familiar with what a partner bond looks like, what it makes you do, what it makes you capable of. Tex never would have wanted me to hurt you. I never want to hurt the people I'm working with, but I'm sorry. I just wanted you to know that I am sorry I went a little crazy, but you are a member of our team, and I want you to know that I'm not gonna lash out like that anymore. So, I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, I appreciate it, love. Thanks so much. Look, I'm sorry about burning your little friend to a crisp. I didn't mean to do it. I just extenuating circumstances and all, you know, I hope we can bury the hatchet. We got to work together with this one. And, yeah, cheers, love. And he'll extend his hand to shake.
And, yeah, her big, huge clawed dragon paw will kind of, like, come down and sort of take your whole forearm. Like,
yikes. All right. Everyone ready to go then?
Well, Natasi, I want to ask you, given your protocols and kind of your past and everything, and this is your newest crew, you know, and seems like you're attached to this crew, at least for the foreseeable future. You know, you're depending on them to help with the current mission, get everybody back to evacuation. You've seen some pragmatism, I think, in Vin that I think you could probably relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen some effectiveness in your other companions that you would certainly recognize being involved in a campaign of conquest and stuff like that with the Hell Knights. So what's Natasi thinking about her group right now?
This is an actually difficult question for me, but I think I've kind of pieced together an answer in my own head. So I go back to when I got this question, maybe it was in episode 4 or 5, and she was looking out at the world that's falling around her and really is just absorbing it like statistics, right? Where there are just massive amounts of people dying and she just needs to be here and healing folks. Now, she, within this world, she's in this microcosm of, I'm going to say humanity, even though none of us are humans, but you get the drift, right? So, most recently, there's a small thing that happened that Natasi really liked. It's when Vin tried to help on the medicine check and just absolutely crushed it. That on top of his pragmaticism, although she hasn't had a lot of face-to-face time with him, she's starting to see him in a much more positive light. Additionally, I think it's been very clear the relationship that she has with Sigurd is one that's very positive. They look at the world in similar ways. So they get along very well together. And Tex and Ivari, they either seem to go down or cause each other to go down. And I know this sounds terrible, but it makes her feel very needed and validated. She's got I know that sounds bad.
You're not wrong.
You guys both respectively cause a lot of chaos. And what that does is that necessitates the need for someone like Natasi to always be present. And when you are dealing with somebody whose mind is part human, part robot, there is that very very binary, I'm needed or I'm not needed, and she's feeling very needed right now. So I know that that might sound like a little bit of a diss, but I don't mean it in that way whatsoever. Like, you guys are validating her existence.
Well, like, as someone playing a decidedly chaotic character, you don't often get a lot of appreciation for that. You know? right. Usually like, oh, fuck yeah, you're playing chaotic? Sweet, I'm glad to have you in this party.
I'm glad to see you go down so much.
I'm like squishy as fuck, so like I'm glad that you're here to, you know, stop me from dying a lot.
You're greatly, greatly appreciated, Natasi, and all that you do.
Like I said in the beginning, it's like great that Steve got to pick the class that he doesn't have to roll too much.
Well, and Ivari is not chaotic though, right? Is she lawful?
Yeah, Ivari is.
I love the soul bond dichotomy of a chaotic and a lawful character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She is lawful neutral.
Chaotic neutral. Let's get it.
Well, you guys have gone through a lot together as a group. Sigurd, is there anything going on in his mind? I know that you kind of let a lot of that out last episode, but I would be remiss not to give you an opportunity to tell me what's on his mind, if there is.
Yeah, I think I alluded to it kind of in the same way that Steve was saying Natasi did when when, you know, we're seeing like cities fall behind us, and that's the first kind of time when I was like, I mean, Sigurd's inside like falling apart, and like this past combat he like completely cut loose, and he doesn't do that, and he's starting to feel like unsure of himself inside, and he's like, he's been a protector, and he's like questioning his ability now to protect this group. I think he's like, he's tried to do everything right, and he sees it as a failing that like Vin gets burned, or that like he has to like knock the shit out of Yavari, or even like Tex is down on the ground. He sees it as a failing that he didn't yell at Vin to like not exclude him. You know what I mean? He's so used to this like regimented, like not me, them, like don't protect yourself, protect them. And I think it kind of alludes to like the chaos of the party right now. He's also a lawful character, but he uses entropy as a force, and it's getting to him, and it's like it's tearing apart his lawful ideals. And
because of all the chaos,
yeah. And he can just like feel it every time he tries to do something right, and it gets ripped to the side. And like, I think he's just like, he's doubting himself inside and trying to like piece things together that are never going to be pieced back together.
Well, with these heavy thoughts on all of your minds, you load up into the truck.
I wanted to talk to Rita.
Okay.
Like, while everybody's loading up, maybe it's like, what the fuck is Tex doing? But I wanted to talk to Rita for just a minute.
All right.
So, at some point, he would approach Rita in her fucking sharp pantsuit.
so crisp.
Yeah, it's very crisp. But yeah, he'd approach her, you know, jovially as always, and be like, hey, how you feeling? You all right?
I am a little drained, but I feel much more myself.
Good. That's good. After, you know, being possessed by a brain slug thing.
Yes, it was awful.
So, look, I'm in a bit of a hurry, but I wanted to be straight up with you. Because, and I know it's not fair, but because you've been possessed by this brain booger, the perception is that you're kind of a bitch. So, I don't think that. I'm just saying, it would behoove you to really commit to getting these people their fuel and getting to safety. And I know you've agreed to do that, but I just wanted to tell you, you need to do everything you can to save these people. And I say save, literally. The swarm is here. All these people can die, and very, very well may. So anything you can do to prevent that, you should.
Says, Mr. Arcana, I assure you that I am doing everything in my power to save these people. I will never be able to forgive myself for the time that I cost the people of Linmari. They could have already been off this planet. It was because I was too weak to fend off this brain booger, as you call it. I may have cost these people their lives. I assure you that I will do everything I can to get them to Rayos City safely.
Well, look, I'm not here to berate you or put you down. And as far as being strong enough to repel the brain booger, you saw my good friend Yavari over there. She's the strongest person I've ever met. Sigurd's getting there. He's getting there. But she wasn't strong enough to repel the brain booger. So, I mean, don't feel like that's a failing on your part. That's something out of your control. But what is in your control is helping these people, and I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page here with that.
It will be the last. I would give my life to save these people, because it is my fault. Strong enough, and no, these people did not have the time they needed to get back safely to Rayos.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm sorry for what's happened. I'm glad we showed up when we did and got rid of that thing. I've got to get out of here. You get these people to safety, and we'll try and go and figure out what else we can do to help the overall situation.
We will see you, Mr. Arcana.
Yeah, and he puts his hand out to shake hers.
And she shakes it, again, with a very firm grip.
Yeah, and as he turns to go, he turns back. He's like, oh, by the way, you ain't got no jerky stored away anywhere, do you?
No.
Well, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. All right, we'll see you, ma'am.
We will see you. And she goes back to helping everybody get loaded up and getting the gas in their cars and stuff like that. You head back to the truck, and at this point, the truck's been loaded up. Vin's in the driver's seat, kind of urging everybody to get on the truck. It's time to go. It's time to go to the Temple of Hylax. It's time to find this priest of Hylax, Zelonin, who you've been sent in the opposite direction of the evacuation to get. And you kind of are looking out at the road in front of you, and you see these mountains in front of you, and they're kind of imposing with their grayness and the snow upon them and the clouds that kind of cover their upper reaches. And you take off to your next destination. And the journey takes you along a winding road that leads from Lemari into the Jordos Mountains, along an area known as the Clutchstone Ridge. This road twists and turns as it gains altitude and is coated in places with ice and snow. You have to drive slower and carefully, Vin, as you navigate these icy turns with sheer drops on the sides of the road. It takes you about an hour to reach the highest point of Clutchstone Ridge, where the Temple of Hylax stands. At this altitude, the environment has the same effects as thin atmosphere, so you have to turn on your environmental protection on your armor to breathe normally here. Gusts of strong wind kick up small whirls of snow from the ground, briefly obscuring vision from time to time. The Temple of Hylax is in front of you, and I have a handout for you.
Oh, neat.
Nice.
But Adam, we're playing online.
It's a digital handout.
Everybody check your mailboxes.
Oh, my God.
I'll be right back.
Oh, I love you, Steve.
Oh, snap.
So, dear. Well, y'all describe what you see here.
Castle Grayskull.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going to go with that.
Yeah. It's definitely a temple. It definitely has an insectoid facial carving on the face of the temple. And there's a large egg-like structure, statuesque, at the top of the temple. Am I wrong in that? Egg-like?
No, right. No, that's definitely egg-like.
That's definitely egg-like, but I went hentai with
it's
it.
A butt
sorry.
Plug.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
This whole thing's a plug for a greater being.
Steve is nodding approvingly right now. Just, yes.
Everybody else got my approval. Is disapprovingly.
I can't express to you how many fucking teeth the face that is carved into the side of this thing has. There's so many teeth.
It's like when you go to the aquarium and they have the megalodon jaw that you can walk inside because it's 20 feet tall. It's that. It's just teeth, rows and rows of teeth.
Do we know about Hylax?
You're welcome to roll a mysticism check if you'd like, or somebody can.
Listen, Jabroni, I just listened to the episode where I rolled a 29 on a mysticism check to learn about Hylax this morning.
So why don't you refresh us on Hylax?
All right, sure. So Hylax is the kind of hive mind god of the Sheeran people. That they adopted after they broke away from what was left, or the swarm the Sheeran were once a part of. I don't believe that, although the temple looks super, super creepy, that Hylax is an evil deity.
You know that she is not.
Good.
You know that she is a good deity.
And I also believe that maybe it's just a Sheeran thing, but they really value their individual thinking, and I think she might have something to do with that, or I just might be extrapolating something from something that doesn't exist.
That's because they broke away from the Hive, which was so not about individualism.
Do you want to roll another one for maybe a little bit more information?
All right, let's see if I remembered anything in the last couple days.
Visually, this thing looks ominous.
Sig AIDS with a 12.
Sweet, we're going to put that up to a 30 then.
30, yeah, so that's better than your last roll.
Damn.
So, yep. So as you've been thinking on this and really digging into your database of knowledge, you know that Hylax is sometimes known as the Forever Queen. And you're thinking a little bit about Sheeran history, and you know that, yes, they separated from the Swarm. But the Swarm actually came from another ancient race that evolved into a hive mind that became the Swarm. And so the DNA of the Swarm and the Sheerans actually trace back to some other older race. And that Hylax herself was one of these beings. And she ascended into goddesshood and was sad when the Swarm, when her race evolved into the Swarm, and was there for the Sheerans when they separated and became their own entity. She is the goddess of diplomacy and friendship. She is proud of her Sheerans for their individuality, but she represents friendship and diplomacy across all insectoid races. So it's not specifically just a Sheeran. She hopes one day that the Swarm will come back to her home better than they were, but, you know, she's also a realist and doesn't expect that to happen. But she is representative of the Sheeran's dedication to being individual while being for the greater good.
All right. So as the as this truck is making its way up this mountain road, and we can see this super foreboding looking temple, I think personally that Natasi did prove herself in the Warthog combat when she was riding shotgun. So she's riding shotgun again because nobody else called it.
Fine.
And with
that's how the rules work.
With Vin driving, she is looking at this thing, this temple, and something just kind of clicks in her head, and she starts just reciting off these facts. You know, Vin, the Forever Queen was once in part of an ancient race that predated the Sheeran and the Swarm. And she's just kind of monologuing all those things you just said. And then maybe in the background you hear Sigurd be like, yeah, and he's also like in diplomacy too, and friendship. With that aid.
You ever heard of how diplomatic they are? That's what they called what we're in right now, the diplomacy of the Swarm.
I mean, it sounds so pretty cool, man. I kind of dig on that
the
guy.
The friendship with the Swarm.
Yeah. So to set the scene, as you crest the ridge, small patches of white barren trees surround crumbling stone pillars and a partially intact walls outside of a large structure. The building is constructed of unusual black stone that gives an opalescent sheen as light reflects off its surface. The exterior resembles a large insect's head with front doors guarded by stone mandibles and circular windows for eyes. An ovoid geodesic crystalline rock about 10 feet wide stands at the top of the temple's central spire. The corpses of several swarm creatures are scattered around the courtyard, and another SDF troop hardtop, this one lightly dusted with snow, is parked at the end of the road. You also see a pair of swarm vorfamas standing in the courtyard, and they are staring raptly at the giant insectile face of the temple facade. They are chittering faintly, just like... And they don't seem to notice you as you approach. I mean, even the sounds of your engine, they don't turn. Anybody who has mysticism, roll a mysticism for me.
Okie doke. I actually have mysticism as well.
It's actually a 21 with a 17 on the die.
Got me.
That's a 10. It's a 10 for Vin.
I was at an 18.
So you got an 18?
Yeah, dirty though. So Sig got me.
Well, okay. I mean, the two of you can tell that they seem to be in a trance of some sort. They're almost kind of like waving in there where they're standing as they're just like looking completely enraptured by the entrance of this temple. You know, Sigurd, you know from, I imagine, being kind of digging into some of the, you know, being a riot officer and everything like that, you've really been paying attention to the behavior of the swarm, and that this sort of behavior is very strange for the swarm. But yeah, so these two Vorfomas are just standing there, completely fascinated by this entrance. What do you do?
Hey, I'm not very good at keeping it down, but I've never seen something like this. Don't know if any of you have. They seem like they're just kind of waiting.
Well, look, mate, we're getting pretty close. You want me to run them over, or are we going to go have a chat?
I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to talk to them. Don't get me wrong, but if they haven't noticed this up to this point, I think the closer we get with the car, the easier it's going to be to snap them out of this. I think a stealthy approach to the temple might be the way to maybe get in without, you know, I guess, attracting their attention. They seem to be staring up and at the face of this thing.
All right, Governor, whatever you say.
Hey, Vin, roll stealth for the truck.
It'll be a minus 15.
Yeah.
Is this one electric?
He'll slow the truck down, though, and prepare to stop. You know, if Sig thinks we need to approach stealthily, then he'll take his word for it. And, you know, ease up on the gas and, you know, kind of lightly tap that brake until the truck comes to a complete stop.
Yeah, so you come to a stop, and again, the two swarm components don't make any indication that they've noticed or are aware of your approach.
Vinny, you can be quiet. You can come with me. I could probably handle them for a little bit if I draw their attention. We'll see, but I'm going to try and get a little bit closer, see what's going on.
All right, boss, I'm right behind you, Vinny says, and Vinny will roll stealth as he's getting out of the truck.
Yavari stays on the back of the truck, but she, like, extends her wings, and she says, "You just say when, and I'll come down."
That's going to be a 23 for Vin.
Okay.
I've got a dirty 20 for Sig.
Okay. All right. So Yavari is going to stay on the truck. Tex, what are you doing?
I'm going to jump on Yavari's back like a backpack, and my head pops over his shoulder. It's like, yeah, what she said. And then the head of my squawk's companion pops over my shoulder, and is like, which is him saying, yeah, what he said.
All right. Natasi, what about you?
I don't want to stealth up with the boys. I'd like to not be sitting in the cab of the truck when this inevitably all goes down, though, so, like, is it unreasonable that I can just get out of the truck without doing stealth checks?
Oh, yeah,
or?
Sure.
All right, so she's gonna pop out of the truck, look at Vin, look at Sigurd. Sneak up onto him. We'll be there when you need it.
Hey, Vin, make sure you stay next to me. If we alert them, I can at least protect you for a little bit so you can get back.
Hey, don't worry, big guy. I'm right behind you. I ain't staying far off under that shield, you know what I mean?
So, I think we... I mean, we've stealthed out now. I think we should continue up.
Yeah. All right. I mean, well, yeah, we continue
do
up.
Do your thing, yeah. Make a... You can move up to your movement at a time. Do what you want to do. Like, so you're kind of approaching this from you guys are on the west side of the map, and you're approaching towards the east, and you're going through the, like, little gates, and Sigurd kind of makes his way up to the front. Vin, you're going to do the same, right?
So Sig moves up like just past the walls he's seeing, and he kind of gives Vin kind of the option, like either stay behind him or get like right up against the wall. Either way, he's going to be right next to Sig. But Sig wants to make sure that he's like, if they spot them, he's the most visible target.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So sure, Vin will, he'll like, you know, kind of get up against this like broken wall here and take a little cover and just give a nod to Sig.
Okay. So you guys make, you know, your first move up, and again, the swarm components are just like, and just not, they're completely transfixed by the temple.
Hey, Sig.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
I say we shoot him right now, mate.
I don't know. I mean, I guess our position's all right. If I take a shot, or if you take a shot, well, I'm gonna yell, and then I'm gonna do something, and then I want you to take a shot, all right?
You got it, mate.
Then gives him a big thumbs up, you know?
And so Sig puts his arm up, and looks back at the truck, and he just like shouts, "Now!" And you see, like, unlike the entropy that normally flows through him, this like these letters and this red energy flow around his arm, and I think Vin can recognize it well because he does the same thing, and Sigurd pumps a supercharged weapon into Vin's weapon as he kind of alerts the group.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Oh, hell yeah.
All right, so the way that's going to work is you're going to get that spell off, and then we're going to go into a surprise round. And so I need everybody to roll initiative. I've already put all of you on roll 20, so you can just roll your actual die and tell me what it is that you got.
That's going to be a 21 for Finn.
Sig's at a 14.
All right.
Yavari, I hope you rolled well.
No, Yavari got a 10.
Ooh. Well, that means I got a 10. Because I got a 5.
Okay, so Yavari and Tex with 10s. Vin with a 21. Sigurd with a 14. What about you, Natasi?
So I don't know why roll 20 is saying that I rolled in 18.
No, don't worry about that.
Okay, yeah. Good, because I rolled digitally on Hero Lab, and maybe I should just start steering more into my Android roots, because Hero Lab rolled me a natural 20.
Put it on the board,
for a 22.
Initiative's part of this?
Any
20 okay. roll.
Well, I am going to defer to roll 20 as well, where I got a natural 20.
No.
Take backs.
Initiative has been rolled. We're going to go with a surprise round. Sigurd, before the surprise round started, you were able to get off the supercharged weapon on Vin.
All right. Yeah, buddy, the alley-oop. I like it.
So then, what are you going to do for your surprise round? You can move or take a standard action.
Take a shot and fire on the closest insect to me.
Okay.
Ooh. All right, that is a 16.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Oh. Oh.
Okay, all right, so the 1d4 is a 3, and then it's 4d6 additional damage.
All right, so we're at 3.
All right, 3, 10 more, and then 6 more on top of that.
Oh, shit. So 16 plus 3 is 19.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, you're shot. You just feel the demonic heat in your gun. It's just... As this laser just like... You've never seen a laser this size. You're shooting a laser gun, right?
Yeah.
You've never seen a laser the circumference that comes out of the barrel of your rifle. And it comes cuts through one of the wings of the swarm and then blasts its head off wholesale. Psh, done, killed outright in the surprise round. Dead.
Hey, I like it.
Man, my Yosoki friend Jesus.
Okay, Sigurd, you have a move or standard?
Sig's going to align Betty against the remaining one. Also, as a swift action, fist bump Vin. Betty
sure.
comes up, providing them both a plus one to AC against this thing.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. All right. Solid.
So that's the surprise round. We're coming around to top of the round. Natasha, you've got the jump here. What are you going to do? There's one swarm of Alfoma. It is no longer looking as if it is entranced by the temple. It has turned its head to you with nothing but malice.
To me?
I feel like that's what he is.
Looking at. You're good.
You as a group, I should say.
I know, I was going to give you a hard time. But after she sees Sigurd's shout now, and then the tag team absolutely vaporized this other bug, she's going to look up to Avari and text and be like, I guess that was the signal to engage. and, I mean, tell me I'm wrong, but I'm a little far away, but it is in my range, and I've got a fairly clear shot at this other bug.
You have an absolute clear shot.
Cool, man. Well, she's just going to pop one off with the azimuth laser pistol. See what I can do.
Okay.
Oh, that'll play. With an 18 on the die, I'm looking at a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
There we go.
Here comes the thunder. You guys thought that last shot was good? Just wait.
You're going to take D4 damage.
Fire damage, maximum nice. Damage, get
max
out of
damage.
Here.
Max damage.
And you have never seen a laser shot with the circumference coming out of this pistol.
It's as wide as text.
Oh my god. Okay. Alright, and here's the thing, just spoiler, you guys all rolled better initiative than this thing. I do not see this thing getting a turn. Because Vin, it's your turn again.
Vin's gonna full attack at the other one.
I'm gonna drink some more bullet for this.
he's bringing back another.
Guess what? I've been whiskey the whole time, baby.
He misses both shots.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because I rolled a 6 and a 3.
What does that 6 go to?
They're both EAC.
Oh, they're flat. Yeah, they're flat.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so Vin was just so excited from vaporizing this other one's head.
The kickback from the overcharged laser shot just threw your sights all the way off. Sigurd, you're up.
I don't know. Am I an appropriate spot to charge?
You can definitely get a straight line charge there.
Then yeah, baby. He's fucking charging.
Okay.
Sig charges in. Betty raised and he just screams at the thing and smacks Betty and pumps this oil slick again. It just looks like Betty is like covered in oil and tries to hit it. Okay, that's going to be a 17 against EAC.
It's a hit.
All right. That's going to be 6 points of damage.
Nice.
6 points of bludgeoning damage. And he's right up in its face now.
With the charge, did they get pushed back?
No, not with it. If I bull rush it, I can.
That's bull rush. Yeah.
Okay. All right, dude. Not bad at all. Just boom, smashes right into him. Yavari, you've got Tex on your back, so any movement you make, Tex will move with you.
Yeah,
what
so,
you do. Although I'm going to penalize you 5. I'm going to penalize you 5 feet of movement when you have Tex on your back.
Okay.
Yeah, because he weighs like a lot.
But
well, it's the having to keep herself stable so you don't fall off type of deal. That's what I'm thinking. It's not so much the weight. It's just,
come on, guys. You ever play Death Stranding? That shit's heavy to carry.
Well, I have hauler. Like, I specifically took that.
Oh, you have hauler?
Yeah. So that
okay,
I could
talk
like,
to me about hauler.
So hauler.
Well, yeah, that negates your strength.
Yeah.
Need for it, right? You can basically haul 3 more bulk.
She's yes. basically a clown car. She could carry 17.
I don't think that I'm being unreasonable by penalizing you 5 feet of movement so you can fly your halfling buddy.
At least
combat.
Until you have a riding saddle legitimately.
Fair enough. Please. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Griffin.
You're welcome.
I'm just trying to keep things realistic here.
You're going to have to reach out to your nearest leather vendor. They're going to have to craft you a riding saddle.
I was about to say.
What do you think I asked for the jerky for?
Well, all right. Well, how about this? What is the situation with this little L-shaped? Is that a little half wall?
4-foot wall.
Okay, so then Yavari is going to let me see. Oof, she's going to glide off of the truck, her 25 feet to the edge of that.
Okay.
And just plop right on top of that, like land on top of that wall to try.
Like stone crumbles as your talons.
Yeah.
You know, like dragon style. Yeah. Love it.
And get a little bit of extra height so that we can get a shot like over Sigurd.
Oh,
you've
done. Yeah, you've got a good shot.
Yeah. So she is going to take a shot with her light reaction cannon.
Okay.
It's fucking crazy, dude. With this Tex awesome. On your back firing a cannon.
Yeah. She's a large creature.
As she sits down on the wall, like she takes aim, but a piece crumbles that she wasn't prepared for, and something happens because I rolled a natural 1.
Oh, no, Emily!
Alright, Tex, I need you to roll a reflex save.
Put it on the board too, man.
Yeah. I am.
Real cool.
I don't know. Maybe we do need to put her in a saddle.
I mean,
I'm telling you, riding saddle's a thing. It's only like 75 credits.
Yeah.
What'd you get there?
That's a 16 on the die for a 23.
All right. So as she slips, you kind of feel your bottom drop out a little bit, but you know, being the Texas Ranger that you are, you clench your thighs and hold on, and you do not get bucked from the saddle. And
yeah, I've ridden a Bronco in my day.
It'll be your turn.
Tex. All right. So because we couldn't get closer, I'm going to incur penalties on either of my guns, and Tex would know that. So instead...
You have a clean shot, though, I will say that, like... No, Sigurd's not in the way. The wall's not in the way. So it'd only be a -2.
Yeah.
And you fought these things before. You know that they have low ACs.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Yeah, I won't waste a spell slot then. I'll take a...
You should totally waste a spell slot.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. I'm going to shoot with... my semi-auto pistol instead of my hail pistol.
Okay.
Because it has better range and better damage.
All right.
Okay. That will be a 17 total.
17 will hit.
Yes. Okay. Well, actually, that's a 15 because of the -2.
15 will still hit.
Okay. All right, that's 1d6 piercing. That's 2. 2 damage.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad.
Still pretty cool. All
right. It is the swarm's turn. The one that is in front of Sigurd will take a 5-step back.
guarded step. And then we'll cast a spell on Sigurd.
What? They cast spells now?
Yeah, no, you fought these guys before. You know. I need Sigurd to roll a will save, please. I just didn't get any of these spells off. That's why you've forgotten, Steve.
That's a 14.
Fucking just got it, you son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch, I'm in!
However, two swarm more emerge from around the side of the temple.
Oh, shit.
One on either side of the entrance. And they are... The northern one is going to also try to cast a spell on you, Sigurd. Roll a will save again.
All right, stay hot, baby. Stay hot. Come on. 19 on the die.
Nice! Right,
you're good. Nice. You're good. I need you to roll a will save one more time, Sigurd.
Fuck's sakes. I feel like this is where I go cold. Actually, I'm going to use an inspiration on this.
There you go.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. Smart call.
Thank fuck it. Well, it's a 17 on the die, so I got it either way, but...
All right. So, all the swarm try to get into Sigurd's head, and Sigurd, I think maybe because he's been spending so much time, like, checking himself for losing his mind, has made his mind rigid and firm against this kind of loss of self, and is able to resist the swarm as they try to control him, as all three swarms fail.
Atata.
Round
you
two.
You will never get this.
You're up.
All right.
That's terrifying. Vanguards, for the record, that was a 14, a 19, and a 17 on the die.
That's insane.
I have
that's
a plus insane. Zero to will saves.
That's just what, good roll. That's just good rolling, Griff.
What's just insane good is all those numbers were off the exact same die roll.
What?
What?
One roll gave you three.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy Vanguard. Right.
No, Natasha, you're up.
All right. So, so it looks like this northernmost one, Natasha might have... like a good beat on it. It kind of clips through Ivari's square. Do you consider that?
No, you got a shot.
All right, I just want to make sure. So she sees these other opponents enter the field of battle and immediately is going to switch fire. I mean, Sigurd's a fucking tank. Like, he's going to handle the one that he was against. So she's going to switch fire up into the one in the north. Again, yeah, they're not particularly terribly difficult to hit, so she is going to shoot twice. See what happens.
Okay. All right, and you got the range for that?
I certainly do.
Okay.
I rolled double 11s, which will modify down to 10s.
Well, what is that? What is that? EAC or KAC?
EAC.
EAC. E. A sizzle will be a hit.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Wow.
Wow. You really, dude, you really had me going there.
That's that whiskey DM talking.
All right, so
they really had a 15 EAC, but I'm just being nice cuz I'm on the whiskey.
Yeah, right. You know,
watch next round the EAC is like 19. Dynamic AC. So basically she pops off a shot, fucking nails this one guy, sees the other people come up and turns, pops off two shots. She's down on one knee, like her left arm is horizontal, her right arm is braced across it. So because she's shooting a little bit longer range. And we're going to do, between the two of them, total 5 points of fire damage.
Mm-hmm. It's a good shot. That feels like a good shot. Two shots, I should say. You feel like you did something significant there as you just blast this Vorfama as it's rounding the corner of this crazy-ass temple. Then, Mr. Overcharged Blast himself, what you got?
What can I say, man? So Vin will actually cast an overcharge on his own pistol and get that charged up as a standard action. Mm-hmm. And it's supercharged weapon is the spell. And then I think he's going to try to hop this 4-foot wall or try to climb over it real quick. So is that like an athletics check to get on the other side of that wall?
Yes.
Let me roll it. Got a big zero to athletics. Natural 19, though.
Oh, you good.
Nice.
Good. All right, yeah.
Hopped.
So Vin will hop over the wall, and he'll kind of cut across to the end of this like little half wall here.
Right.
Kind of coming around to the right side to get an aim on the two that are approaching Sigurd.
Okay. So you've got a clean shot on the one furthest away from you. You've got a block shot on the one closest to Sigurd.
Fair enough. I'll get him next turn.
Sigurd, you're up. You see two swarm Bifoma approaching you. They're the wings just...
And do I notice the faraway one?
Yeah, you see him.
Okay. Sig loves the spot he's in right now. And so he's going to move action pump both of his entropy points, because he got a new one from charging, into his entropic strike at range and hit the far one. And you see, like, amongst
you
the
can
gray,
double pump?
I can pump as many entropy points as I have into it.
What?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
oh
man. You can.
So
sure.
I pump all my entropy into Vigor. It. And when
Vanguards are OP, please nerf.
Please nerf.
Sigurd is vigorous.
And with the, he picks up, like a spear shaped branch with the energy. And it first.
Yeah,
it,
like, your energy just like pulls a branch from that rotted tree next to you into your entropic, like, cyclone, you know?
Right, and at first it has that, like, gray hue, but when he pumps the entropic force, again, you see, like, this red, demonic energy flow into it as well, and he just fires it like a javelin. Honestly, it looks like it's, like, about a foot above his hand as he just, like, tosses it. He mimes tossing it, and it flies from his hand into the far one.
Oh, my God.
And that's an 18 on the die. I am on a fucking hot streak.
Yeah, that's a hit, dude.
And so that deals... 10 points of damage as it slams into him.
Bloodied in one shot. Like, as it's approaching, it's just like running up on you, and this branch that's swirling with entropic energy just pierces right through its thorax, and guts and ooze fly out of it as you bloody it with that shot. Holy shit, y'all.
And the only thing you can think to say is he, like, turns back to Vin and he's like, make sure you're still behind me.
Right behind you, man.
Yavari, you're up.
Okay, so Yavari would know, Emily doesn't, what is Tex's range, like, for his guns?
Well, I have one gun that's 20 feet, one gun that's 30 feet.
Okay. Well, she would just scooch up just basically on the wall. She's still on the wall, and she's, like, just above Vin's head, kind of.
Yeah, she just, like... jumps and lands, like, directly behind Vin. Like, Vin's up against the wall, like, lining up a shot, and all of a sudden this dragon kid just, like,
what
lands
did I just
right
say
behind.
About sneaking up on me?
If you think that's sneaky. And as she's saying that, she'll try and take another shot off to the one that's just closest to Sig. Mm-hmm. Okay, 17 on the die, which
yes,
is going
that'll hit.
To
yeah, yeah,
it's going
hit.
It's going to hit, I believe.
I don't care. That hits.
So that's gonna be 6 points of oh wait, no, I'm sorry, that is not the right die. That's the reaction cannon. That's supposed to be a D10.
I hope you roll.
Let me
less.
Try again.
I hope you well, fucking roll
I
less.
Do too.
She does.
Damn it. Oh, well, actually, Yeah, no, I did. That's three. That's 3 points of damage. So
not enough to kill it. Not enough to kill it. But although I got it looks like close. It's on its last wing. Yeah.
Got it close for Tex.
All right, Tex. You know you're holding on to this dragonkin as she's just bouncing from wall to wall. You're not having to move at all. You have your full turn here. What are you going to do?
You're absolutely right, Adam. And maybe it's not a memory, but something like that kind of occurs to Tex, and he chuckles to himself a little and just says under his breath, ha, 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 ha. And as a full...
It's all Uncle's mixtape right there, you know?
As a full action, he's going to cast Puncture Veil.
So far, I think we need to track this too. So far on Uncle's mixtape, we have CCR and we have ZZ Top.
Yeah, we'll I think the ZZ Top is going to end up getting a lot of miles out of that. I'm going to cast Puncture Veil as a full action, which allows me to do one of two things, okay? I can either target two creatures within 20 feet of each other with the normal effect, or target only one creature who would take 2d4 piercing damage and bleeding 2 for 3 rounds. I'm going to target two creatures. Both of the swarm, the one in front of Sigurd and the one a few spaces behind and to the south of him.
Okay, puncture your fucking veil.
Yeah, but whereas his puncture veil has always, so far, been like cactus needles, because that was the Texas image that he could grasp onto to cast it, he like broke through a barrier and had a vision of a ZZ Top concert in one of the many realities of Earth that exist. And in this particular reality, Billy Gibbons, the guitar player for ZZ Top, broke every single string on his guitar at the same time.
Oh my god.
And all of those broken strings are going to pierce into both of these swarm. For 1d4 piercing damage and bleeding.
Well, that's going to be a ZZ Top drop.
ZZ Top drop.
Yep. Okay. Well, roll your damage, bitch.
Do I need to roll two separate d4, or is it just one?
Yes, two separate d4s.
Okay. That's a 1.
Okay.
And that's a 4.
All right, so the 1 on the one closest to you is enough to kill. That guitar string, six-string samurai motherfuckers, just like wraps around his neck, you know. What's that? Garotson?
Yeah.
And then how much did you do with the second one?
4.
4. Boy, you got him just about down to his last fucking... if there was a way to describe it, HPs.
Yeah. Well, and he has bleeding 1 for 3 rounds.
Oh, that's fucking great. And it's his turn, so he bleeds 1. And he's still alive, but barely. There are 2 swarms left. One that's almost dead and one that's not almost dead. Let's start with the one to the north. Yvari, I need you to roll a will save.
Well, first off, rude.
Don't let it in your mouth.
That's a fortitude save.
Yeah.
What'd you get, Yvari?
A natural 1 for 4? Oh,
what are you doing? Oh, you're losing us this game.
Throw the dice away.
And you are now under the effects of lesser confusion.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
And the crit game between STF and Hideous Laughter. The swarm's involved, too, but fuck him. We're now tied in both crits and natural ones. We're exactly tied.
I do my part.
Just wait till my turn.
An exact tie favors you guys, because you divide by 2, we divide by 3.
That's also true.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well...
So what does that mean?
We'll find out on your turn, Natasi. Oh, wait, there's another swarm. This guy's going to move up. No, not going to move up. He's going to ranged attack Sigurd with his arm barb. Just, he, like, lifts up his arm and... this, like, little barb flies off his arm at Sigurd. All right, you ready, Sigurd?
Yeah, man.
That's a natural 1...
That'll
from
miss.
The swarm. It's a natural one. Critical fail. Put it on the board, Heath. Swarm rolled a nat one and misses.
Well, the swarm is definitely winning the natural one competition.
All right, here's the second attack. That's not going to hit either. Both miss. Okay. Natasi, you're up. Round three. These things suck. Why am I even playing with four phones in a week?
Feel like I don't want to give ground on
like,
the natural
one. There's
so
many like swarm components that I want to be throwing at you guys right now, and I have to throw these fucking weak-ass gnats at you.
It's cool with us, man. I don't know why you're tripping, dude.
I'm tripping. Y'all are having a good time. That's good. That's what it's about. But fuck y'all. Natasi, you're up.
All right. Natasi is going to continue just laying down some serious fire at this one up north. That is 13 on the die and a 17 on the die for adjusted 14 and 16. That'll do.
Yeah, thank goodness for dynamic AC, because that fucking missed.
Yeah, but get the fuck out of town.
All right, what's the damage?
Another 5.
Golly. Yep. Wow, this hurts him.
This is the best hit rate Natasi's had in any combat, I think. It's 100%.
I'm super.
All you need is an enemy thrilled. With 10 AC.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's fair. All right, Vin.
All right. So Vin peeks around the corner of this wall with just this shaking, glowing pistol and takes a shot at the one across from Sigurd.
All right.
With it. Let's get it. Natural fucking 20, dude. Oh,
Jesus.
Natural
nice.
20.
Nice.
On my shitty green die that never, ever rolls 20s.
It's a Vin
die I got a
now.
Natural 20.
That's so, the one I gave you, so I'm so glad I gave it to you. I'm so glad it's working for you in the Attack of the Swarm campaign.
So it's going to deal 2d4 plus the burn plus 4d6, right? That doesn't get doubled, does it?
No,
it
doesn't 4d6 matter. Doesn't get doubled.
One point of damage kills this thing. It's fucking dead.
Vin dead. Blows his fucking head off with this like massive Mega Man shot. I mean, he just comes out. Like I said, the pistol is shaking. It's just like
I imagine.
And he just fires it off.
I imagine Vin's supercharge looks different than Sig's though. Like
yeah,
what does
is
this? What is it like? Is like mine's all like demonic.
Yeah, I mean Vin's is more just like pure energy. It's just like you know. It's a bluish glow surrounding the fiery laser blast in the middle of it. It's just like wider and brighter, you know?
Nice.
Well, despite all your fucking rainbow lights, it's enough to kill it. All right.
Hey, me and Billy Gibbons loosen the jar, I'm just saying.
Sigurd, you're up. There's one left.
All right, Sigurd. Sig unleashes his entropy at it. All right. That's a... Well, highest is a 10, so not great. But I know
against
a 10 hits, right?
For EAC?
Yeah, EAC.
Yeah, it hits.
All right. If I didn't drop that on the floor... Here we go. That is 4 points of damage.
Okay. Still up. Still up. Okay, we're at Yavari's turn. She is confused. I need you to roll a D100, please.
I have this spell, so I know how bad it can be.
33.
God damn it! You do nothing
that's
but
lit.
Battle incoherently. That's what are you saying? Yeah, awesome. Shut up. Tax.
Yep. You okay? You having a stroke?
No, we're done. Tax, you're up.
Tight. Let me see. What's my range looking like here? Just barely outside of range. Yeah, I'll fire at the remaining swarm with my... Which pistol is it? God damn it. Semi-auto pistol. So that'll be a -2, right, for the range increment, and then -2 for being on her back?
No, she's not moving, so you're good. You're stable right here.
Okay. That's a 16 on the die for a dirty 20.
Yeah, okay. That's a hit. It's a fucking hit.
Yeah. Okay, Adam. It's all good, bro.
No, I know. It's good. I'm just playing. But it's a fucking hit.
Whiskey tea, I'm kidding.
It's two damage.
That's exactly what you needed to do.
Oh, you did it. Yeah, you did it.
Let me turn off this epic music because this wasn't an epic fight.
Yeah. Everybody else gets to describe their kills. Quit being salty, you motherfucker. No, I mean, off the back of Yavari, over his shoulder, with his squawk's companion over his shoulder, levels his pistol, hits it right in the right bug eye.
I like to imagine you did like 1.9 damage, but then like the Squawk's companion has its own pistol.
He fired a beam shot. Fires like a toothpick
right into its eye.
Yeah, he has like a little slingshot.
0.1 damage.
Have I ever named this Squawk's companion?
I don't think so.
Bringing it up this episode because I regret ever taking that feat, and now I have to find a way to work it in.
Yeah, you need to make the Squawk's a character. What is your Squawk's name?
Billy Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons.
Jesus, baby.
So he's just a
he's got a beard. Huge beard.
He's just a beard. Oh, that's we on should your do shoulder. A,
dude, his we name should do is Kenny the Gambler Rogers. Dale Earnhardt, number three, the Intimidator, yeah. Kenny the Gambler Rogers.
Hey, rest in peace, Kenny the Gambler Rogers.
Yeah, for sure.
Rest in peace.
I will name him F. Kenny. He's Kenny.
All right. So you guys take care of the swarm that were out here doing whatever they were doing in front of this temple. We're not done yet. What are y'all doing now? I know you were expecting to finish your drink. I'd say pour another one.
All right, okay. Fine, I'm in.
Don't do that, but.
For sure, I'm in.
You don't tell me. I'll pour a new drink if I want to.
Listen, man, I don't have to drive home from Griffin's anymore, so I can drink all night. Yeah.
Listen, I want to remind you that there is another SDF troop hardtop out here on this, right in front of here. This is likely the missing SDF squad.
So they're still here.
Can we investigate that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm suggesting that you do.
Yeah. Also, okay, well, we do that.
Yavari's no longer confused.
You're correct. That was a one round situation. So you shake it off. You're about tired of being controlled by other things.
A little bit, a little bit.
I cast Lesser Confusion.
Do you?
Suck it,
I'll do that.
No, I'm just joking.
This is all that right. campaign.
All right, so
at the back of the hardtop, you see two human bodies at the rear of the truck, while a third is sprawled near the cabin. Each is wearing the insignia of the 2nd Battalion, and each looks like as if they've been eviscerated by the swarm.
Ooh. Hey, we should probably check out them brothers in arms over there that's obviously dead.
Well, yeah. Captain Cuvenza is going to be very disappointed what happened to his soldiers. Although I can't say that he shouldn't be expecting this, considering they hadn't checked in.
It's kind of weird that they're all, you know, messed up. These guys weren't immediately hostile to us.
I will say that dichotomy is surprising. They treated us very different than it apparently was how they treated them.
Do we hear anything? Is there any kind of smells? Or, like, were they just looking at the building, or were they transfixed for something else?
Let's get a culture of mysticism check from everybody.
Oh, baby. Two things I can roll on, weirdly enough.
Negativism
for your boy.
I don't know what either of those things
are. No.
I'm better at culture.
That's going to be a 21 on the mysticism for Vin.
Natty 20. I'm telling you, I'm never going to roll better than this episode.
This is Chris' episode.
This is my episode. That's a natural 20. That's a 25 culture.
Okay. Put it on the fucking board. We won round one. We're going to lose round two.
Sorry.
Both Vin.
I think you guys are overlooking your mystic who comes in. With a 29 total mysticism.
Oh!
18 off the die.
Damn.
Wah, wah, wah. Nice. All
right, so we're going to give that to Natasi.
Damn it. Wasted natural 20. All
right, so what you can glean as you're looking at the temple, this time not so focused on the swarm that's in front of it, is that the stone wall around the door
is carved in several places with Shirin words. Does anybody speak Shirin?
Yep.
You do?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so the words that you see are diplomacy, friendship, and peace. And you recognize that these are the words of Hylex's main areas of concern. The doors are shut. And you see that it's going to take a strength check to open the doors because there's a pulley system that keeps them shut against the wind.
All right, guys, I got it.
All right, then, after you, big guy.
Wait, did we...
Well, there's also the stuff at the hard top.
Yeah, let's check that out first before we go inside.
All right, so you can see that all three of them have the digital ident tags. You each have one, too. I don't know if I've said this on air. Maybe not to you at all, but your dog tags are digital dog tags. Okay? And so being anybody who's a member of the SDF can sync to a dog tag and get the information. And so you see that the three dead soldiers are L. Rodmetch, Caitlin Penny, and Sergeant Tawny Seabross. Okay. None of that really matters. Don't write it down. It's fine. Doesn't matter. These are dead soldiers. They don't fucking matter.
Definitely. Jeez, write it down.
Don't trust that. Wow. Whiskey GM, why?
They're dead. What matters is the treasure that is in their truck and on their persons. This is what you should write down. There is an azimuth artillery laser with two fully charged batteries. There is a bombard shell gun with 10 shells. A diamagnetic storm hammer with one fully charged battery. And a Series 21 plasma guide sniper rifle with a single battery with 10 charges left. There are two sets of freebooter armor, one, and a suit of thin plate with infrared sensors installed. There's an industrial backpack in the cabin containing two Mark 1 frag grenades. And finally, Sergeant Seabross wears a holy symbol of Iomidae on a chain around her neck, clutching it in one hand. And I will put that in the chat for you guys.
Do not seek the treasure.
So yeah, you have all those things in there. And don't worry, we can deal with that off air. Put it up there, you guys can dull it out as you see fit off air.
How many grenades were there?
There was two. I just put it in the chat, so.
Heard.
However, the door remains closed to you to the temple interior. What do you do?
What do y'all big, strong folk want to open that up?
Yeah, Yavari would be like, if you guys are ready, I'll give it a crack.
I'll be right up there with you.
Can we, aid each other?
So, no. You can't. However, I just need a straight strength check.
I'll let Yavari out the fur.
I don't know. We've seen how I've been rolling. We'll see.
Yeah, my roll... tonight is my night. Oh, okay. Maybe I should do it.
Okay, 18 on the die. So that's going to be 18 plus 4.
Yeah, you power lift the shit out of that shit. Doors open. And inside, you see wooden rafters made of local white timbers lining the black stone walls and ceiling of this temple, producing the illusion of standing within the skeleton of a giant beast.
Creepy.
The ceiling rises to a central pinnacle set with an oval crystalline dome, through which rays of green and purple light filter to bathe the chamber's stone pedestals and benches. A heavy wooden double door leads deeper into the temple to the northeast, and metal double doors exit to the southwest. Well, those are the doors that you just opened. So let me go ahead and open those for you so you can see. All right, so you guys can move up to the stairs. I would encourage you guys to get in marching order before crossing the threshold of the stairs.
I think I've got a pretty good thing going on hanging in the back.
You want me in front of you, Yavari? Or I guess have to be behind you because you opened the door.
She opened the door and then she could take a step back. You can decide how you go in.
I'm gonna pop right in.
Okay.
So Sigurd will be leads
behind,
him first.
Behind Yvari.
So Vin's going to be behind Yvari. Tex, you're going to be on Yvari's back, I assume.
I've never left.
All right, Natasi will also be behind Yvari, kind of in between the mandibles of the entrance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ominous. Okay,
so then Sigurd, I leave it to you. What is your move? And I need you to move. Tell me how you move and where you move.
So I'm seeing this crystalline orb dome right in the center of this place, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's laid out in front of me. Can I make a perception now that I'm in here?
A new hand touches the orb.
Yeah, sure. Please do.
All right. That's not good. That's a 9.
Yeah, I mean, all that you can see is this kind of glowing light from the orb, and you can hear what sounds like soft, chittering chanting from beyond this room. Just this. It's almost like musical in its chitter.
You guys know when something sings, it's always just a real creepy trap thing, right? You ever seen a horror movie? I'm gonna go up to the side.
Sig begins moving.
It's a real paranoid take on life.
He begins moving this way. 5, 10, 15, 25, I guess.
Okay. So he moves behind like one of the benches or the pews. Okay. Yvari, you're next in line. What do you do?
So first off, I'm a little bummed that nobody laughed at my Skyrim bit, but that's fine.
Wait, what?
You just gotta let the jokes die if they die. You just gotta—I mean, those are your little kids, and you push them off out in the world. And if they die,
you just gotta hope that the listeners are gonna laugh at home.
Oh, fine.
I mean, I don't know about their taste, but they might laugh.
They might laugh. Okay, so honestly, Yvari's gonna kind of follow Sig's lead. Like, if he's kind of skeeked out about this, she's gonna follow suit. I'm just saying. Good text, and you'll just
good looking behind
moving.
Those pews, big dragon.
I'm
lady.
Here with you, baby.
Start right, moving so, up behind them pews.
So this is how you would have to move.
Oh,
correct. Like if you did, that's the movement you'd have to make.
Yes.
Right? All right. So right here, I need you to roll a perception check.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. You know what? I can do that, buddy. You know what? Let me do that for you.
Cut.
That's 19 on the die for a 20.
There it is.
Okay, you do not see the trap.
What?
As you step there, and this square right here, the northeastern part of your token, it's a spiked trap.
As in?
It's full of alcohol.
As in?
Spikes come up or the floor goes out?
Yeah, no, they come up. I need both Tex and...
Oh, fuck off. I'm good, dude. I'm 6 feet up.
I need you to both roll reflexes. Tex, you're going to get a +2 to your reflex save.
Because Spike's going to have to go all the way through your friend to puncture you.
Yeah. This is silly and you fucking
avoid the one that just skewered Yvari.
What'd we get, folks?
Got a 17.
Okay, oh, Tex, you're fine. What'd good. You get?
You've already rolled a 7 for an 8 total.
Oh my god.
What is all wrong, right. Di?
Well, Yvari, you're going to take some damage here. You are going to take 10 points of piercing damage.
Jeez.
And you are entangled, but it doesn't matter because everybody can help you out. But that you have sprung that trap. He took that as these spikes just come out of the ground and right into your like foot paws, your foot claws, just right through your feet.
She doesn't like that. She grumbles.
I wouldn't imagine that she does.
She kind of hates it.
What are you going to do? I will say that you can move next to Sigurd if you want, but currently Yavari is entangled.
There's traps!
Yeah, Vin thinks this is a terrible idea, so like he'll kind of reach for the amulet of Besmara around his neck and clutch it and just kind of say a little prayer slash curse under his breath as he runs in, and he's going to dip to the right looking for traps before he...
All right, let me get a perception. Yeah, let me get a perception.
Okay. God damn, dude, that's an 11.
Yeah, you don't see any more traps other than the one that sprung.
When he takes his next 10 feet behind this, I don't know, pew or something on the side of the room, on the right side of the room.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to get there with no issue.
And, you know, he just scans the room. What, this glowing ball, I mean, it's singing to us right now?
No, the singing doesn't seem to be coming from the ball itself. It seems to be coming from further into the temple. This ball is just kind of exuding, like, energy from it.
Got a real bad feeling about this one, folks.
Natasi.
All right, well, I know we made jokes about dynamic AC earlier, but right now I'm seeing some dynamic lighting, so I can see basically the ball through the door of this chapel, but I can't see anything else. So Natasi is basically going to occupy the space right between... Ivari and where she saw Vin break off. So now she can see everything in this space.
All right. Would you like to roll a perception?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I'm getting anything special here with a 16.
No, you don't.
No, so she moves in, takes a look around, scans the premises, and... kind of just stays put. I want to know what's going on with this big ball of energy. Is there a check I can roll against that, or no?
You can roll mysticism.
Oh, wonderful. I would love to do that. Also, is the chanting or singing in a language I recognize?
You speak Sheeran, right?
Sure do.
Yes, you recognize it as Sheeran.
Oh boy, what they singing about, Adam?
So you don't necessarily... It's strange to you because you recognize that as Sheeran dialect, although you don't recognize any of the words of it. Let me get that mysticism check and I'll give you a better answer based on that.
How does a 27 strike you?
Okay, yeah, so you recognize that this sounds like holy diction, and that as you're looking at the sphere in the middle of the room and you're hearing the sounds of the voice, as the voice seems to swell, as does the energy of this sphere in the middle of the room. You can draw with that whoever's singing beyond this room is powering this sphere.
Okay, so she's going to... And correct me if I'm wrong, but there's only one other door in this room, right? There's no other side entrances or anything? It doesn't look like it. Okay, cool. So she's kind of once she gets in the room, takes a look around, listens to the singing for a second, and sees the orb pulse with it. She's going to look to her compatriots. I think the bugs here are singing. They're friendly bugs, I think, but they're powering this orb in the middle. Let's be careful.
Y'all think it's a priest that we're supposed to get?
I wouldn't be shocked, Vin. He's supposed to be here. Maybe... Hear me out on this. Maybe their singing in this orb is what transfixed the bugs outside.
Think you may be right, Natasi. What was the priest's name again? Yeah. Vin calls out to the party.
Zelonin.
Zelonin Hookstanges.
So Vin will just holler out, Zelonin! Zelonin!
And right there... I need y'all to finish your drinks.
Oh boy.
As we'll see.
Oh dear.
There it goes.
Oh dear. Well, you beat me to it because I was 100% like, hey,
you guys.